An unmarried son is a liability for any Indian family, but it's worse if he's in another country. This continued extended family pressures, and he's also shown a remarkable ability to not pick up. Every week, we look at the joys and pitfalls of an arranged marriage with our modern Indian man, Muli, and his sister, Star. Hi, guys, and welcome to the Arranged Marriage for the Modern Indian Man podcast. My name is Bobby, and I'm joined by the man in question, Muli, and his sister, Star. Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Hey, Bobby. I'm good.
Hi, Bobby.
So we're back today with this episode 9 after a short break. Muli, what's been going on? What's been happening with the parents? How's the arranged marriage process going? Fill us in.
So there's a few different things with the parents. So as we mentioned in our last episode a couple of weeks ago, our parents have been quite busy dealing with some other stuff, basically a death in the family. But they have still had time to do some arranged marriage stuff in the last week or two. So I guess we've got some new material to talk about. We finally had the promised drop in the parentometer after they found out about the fallout with Simran regarding our difference in heights, I guess. I think they spoke to Star a bit more about their disappointment. And I think they could tell that I was not enthusiastic about her even before she said no, I think. What do you think, Star?
Yeah, I agree. You know, we've talked about this before. They have this rationale that you're going to show up and women are just going to be like, wow, Muli, you're so attractive and amazing and just fall in love with you. And if that happens, then you're all set, right? So I think they kind of had this expectation with Simran that you'd just like charm her so much over Skype or in person that she wouldn't say no to you. And I think partly they're disappointed because they felt like you weren't engaging with like a lot of interest with her. But to be fair, you didn't really feel a lot of chemistry with her.
Do we just want to do a quick recap of who's of Simran and what the story was there?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So I think Simran was a girl that my parents found, and she also stayed in Australia. And she was she worked in Australia in another city, and we talked for a week or two. And she did mention the first time that we spoke over the phone and also on text, that whether the height that my parents had put on the profile was really my height. And it turned out that it's actually a few centimeters, like they've made me a few centimeters taller than I actually was. And finally, to be fair to my parents, they weren't too creative. They made me 3 centimeters taller exactly, which isn't a huge amount.
So this is on purpose though, Muli, is it?
This is on the profile, I think. This is on my marriage profile on the internet.
No, but they did that like on purpose, like that was a deliberate decision to add to your height on their part?
No, I don't think so. I think if they made a deliberate decision to add to my height, they would have added more than 3 centimeters. Like, let's be honest. I think they're just not sure about how tall I was, essentially, I think. And they just put a close approximation. And to be fair, I guess they got pretty close. So I measured myself again properly and told her exactly how tall I was, which is not very tall, to be honest. And she turned out to be 1 centimeter taller than I was. And so she was not happy about that. But to also be fair to her, I was not that interested in her anyways. So after she said that being tall was important to her, I didn't really try very hard to re-engage with her after that.
So I think it's also funny because Mom was so excited about this match. So every time I talked to her, she'd say things like, oh, I hope Muli gives us some good news anytime soon. Or you know, we're like so looking forward to hearing from him and what his thoughts are. So I think they were really disappointed because they definitely did have a lot of hopes on her. And, you know, you guys had a similar background and she was in Australia. So I think they just felt like, oh, this is it. Like, it's finally going to happen. And even though you're right in saying, Muli, that for her, it was a different factor for like saying no or not being enthusiastic, I don't think Mom and Dad saw it like that. I think they saw it as like, if you'd charmed her enough or whatever, then she'd be so in love with you that that 1 centimeter wouldn't make a big difference.
Yeah, I don't know if they seriously believe that or not.
They do a bit because, you know, she also asked you to come and see her in Sydney because her mom was there, right? And she wanted to meet you while her mom was still there. And I think our mom and dad felt like, oh, if he'd gone over, then maybe things would be different. Because then she'd have seen him in person. So I'm like, you know, I don't see how that would have made a big difference. If anything, she might have seen you in person and gone, actually, you are a shorty. I don't want anything to do with you. Yeah, so that's all come to a sad end.
Yeah, that's right. So I think overall, it's a pretty low parentometer for this week. I'd say they're down in the dumps probably for the parentometer for this week. I think it's a fair assessment.
Aww.
Do you agree with that, Star?
Poor parents.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think based on like other happenings as well. So they've only really started getting back into this whole looking for matches again this week. And they've thrown a couple of matches my way, both of which I kind of said no to before we even like got to the stage where I talked to them, because their profiles were not very flattering. I did talk to Star about the fact that one of them is like kind of in a different language group. They're Telugu as opposed to Tamil. But they're still the same cast. So my parents are willing to go as far as to find somebody who speaks a different language. Or, well, they did speak Tamil as well. They're from a different language group or, I guess, ethnicity than us. But the cast stays ever important to them about finding the girl. Because they have mentioned previously about girls who have expressed an interest in my profile who are from a different cast. But they always kind of laugh it off.
So, Muli, have you ever asked them to send you a profile of someone from a different cast if they expressed interest?
I have asked them to, but they kind of just like brush it off, I think. And I think that's also one of the reasons why they've gone to the more niche matrimonial websites to get away from people who are not from our cast. Yeah, because there was, I think, one girl from a different cast who was also in Australia who had expressed an interest in. The parents mentioned it and I did ask them to send me the profile, but then they were like, I knew they weren't going to send me the profile, and I didn't ask them to send me the profile more so to rile them up a little bit than anything else. I guess I could go, like, I could log on because they have given me the details and try to find the profile, but I'm not that enthused about not going through that much effort for it.
So have there been any new girls then, or are they still looking? Have they had time to look, considering they are, you know, they've been busy with some other stuff lately?
So there is one girl, actually, who I agreed to speak to after the two that I said no to. So there's actually one new match that they've brought up today. So it's pretty hot off the press. And so this girl's from India. She still lives there. And she's an accountant. And so they've sent me her picture and she looks all right. And I looked at her profile and it's pretty bare bones because they're all written by the parents anyways. So I did say that I'd speak to her. But the funny thing was that because apparently she's super busy with work, her parents want us to Skype tomorrow. So that'll be an interesting conversation. So I don't know if I have to Skype her parents yet. And my parents weren't sure whether they'd be involved in the Skype. So I'm not sure if it's going to be a case of hi parents and then I talk to the girl, or the parents are just going to like sit down behind her to like make sure nothing inappropriate happens.
Muli, I can tell you that if they're saying that they're not sure if the parents are going to be there or not, it means that the parents are going to be there.
You think so? I hope they have the decency to stay off camera at least so I can pretend they're not there.
But I think it would be pretty hilarious if they were sitting behind her the whole time.
I mean, like, it would be amazing. But
have you prepared anything, Muli, for this Skype interview? I don't know what you want to call it.
It's not an interview, Bobby. I'm not going to prepare for it. That's just ridiculous. I'm just going to make sure I shave and trim my beard. And
that sounds like preparation to me.
Well, fair enough. But I mean, I'm not going to make a little folio that I'm going to shuffle around before they answer any questions. Like,
you're not going to have your CV in front of you?
No, I'm not going to have my CV in front of you. And I kind of mentioned this to Bobby in passing today when we had lunch, that I think if they're going to like, if the parents try to have too much of a conversation, I think I'm just going to be like, guys, like, I didn't Skype to like be interrogated by you. I'm here to like talk to your daughter, so.
Okay, that's going to be the end of any further conversation.
I think Bobby also mentioned something which I thought was interesting, where she was saying that, because I like, there's not much details about this girl on her profile, so I was like, I think she might be a bit boring. And Bobby was like, oh, you need to push the boundaries a little bit to find out whether she's boring or not, like try to flirt with her like we talked about. And I think it's a little bit of the same for the parents as well. Like, I've got to push the parents' boundaries a little bit to see where they're at, kind of. And I think this is a good way for me to find out. I think if the parents start to like get a bit too involved in the conversation, I think I'm going to be like, look, guys, like, I'm happy to answer questions, but I want to talk to your daughter first. Like, And then afterwards, I'll be like, sorry, I have to go. Ciao. I'm not going to be like I'm not going to answer your questions like this is. I'm not going to be rude to them, but I'm just going to like kind of try to gently say, look, I'm here to talk to your daughter, not to you. Like, what do you think? Do you think that's too intense?
I find it interesting where you're willing to push the boundaries and where you're not, or like how you seem to be very willing to push the boundaries with the parents, but you haven't been willing to really push the boundaries with any of the girls you've spoken to so far. So, but you know, yeah, otherwise, if you're talking about like, you're just telling the parents like, hey, no, I'm here to speak to the girl, would you mind? I don't think that's particularly rude if you do it in a nice way.
That's a good point, Bobby. I hadn't thought about that. I agree, Muli. You do push the boundaries with parents and expectations, but I haven't seen you push boundaries with the women themselves when you talk to them either.
Yeah, I think that's, I guess that's fair to say, but I'm not, I guess it's more along the lines of, it's a strange way to interact with somebody. Like, it's very manufactured. And I think I find it hard to push boundaries, like, within that sort of framework. Like, I guess it's like, I'm not sure where the boundaries are. Like, if I push the boundaries too much, like, I'm not sure whether it'll go back to the parents, like, when for to her parents and then to our parents. And
you're not worried about doing that now, though? Like, going, pushing the boundaries directly with the parents?
Yeah, but I don't think, like, that's different, though. Because, like, pushing boundaries with the girl is a bit more consequential, I feel. Like, pushing boundaries with the parents in this way is, like, super mild. But pushing boundaries with the girl is more along the lines of, oh, like, you look really nice in that dress. And like, oh, like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's more like direct flirtation and...
I don't think saying, oh, you look nice in a dress is like super...
What's she going to like...
Sexually
gonna
inappropriate.
She's going to run back to her parents and be like, oh my God, do you know what he said
You won't
said
believe
to
what
me?
He said to me. But do you know what I mean? Like, more along the lines of the Intimate Conversations, like, podcast that we did. Like, I mean, if I asked her how she felt about sex, etc., and then, like, she started talking to her parents about it, and she was like, look, this is the sort of shit that he's... Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's, I feel like...
Well, I think that's the kind of question you ask once you've pushed the boundaries and got, like, a positive response from her. I don't think that's a question you ask to push the boundaries.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I agree.
But maybe that's something we could talk about, like how you guys think I could push the boundaries more with the girl and like how to keep it natural, because it's a strange, like, sort of, I guess, like, interaction that we have. It's very manufactured by our parents and by, like, you know, like, there's a time limit about how we're supposed to go. And I guess we both try to find out as much about each other as we can. But at the same time, to also push boundaries is, I guess, a strange sort of, I guess, I don't know. It, in general, I just don't know how to do it. Like, how would you even do it? Like, I don't know.
Oh, you just have to start small with, like, flirting a bit over text and then slowly, you know, take it off text and into face-to-face.
I think, Muli, you know what we need to do? We need to bring you out and actually get you to flirt with girls in real life so that you don't fight it as hard over the phone.
I think I can flirt with girls in real life. I think flirting over the phone is a lot harder than flirting in real life.
Yeah, well, no, we will have to get you to do it sober.
Okay, now that is difficult. I think now that I'll admit to finding difficult. But sobriety in general is something I find difficult. So.
Bobby, I think you should take Muli to a speed dating night and make sure he doesn't drink
anything. That's a great idea. We should definitely do that.
And then you can film the whole thing and send it to me for my own personal opinion.
Bobby's been asking whether I can film the Skype. And I was like, Bobby, I'm not filming the Skype. It's not happening. And she's like, why not?
Oh, really?
You see, stars on my side.
Fargo, that would be good if you could film the Skype. I'm totally on your
side. Yeah, of course you are. So I'll let you guys know how the Skype conversation goes. I'm obviously not going to be pushing any boundaries with the girl during the first Skype conversation, so... I won't have any opportunities to try it out. I have a feeling the Skype is going to go a little bit similar to how my one-off phone call with, I forget, the dentist. I forget her, which actress we used for her. With her went, which is basically we have a sort of awkward 15 to 20 minute conversation. And then it's like, all right, see you then. And neither of us really respond again to each other. So I kind of feel like that's how it's going to end. But we'll see how it goes. I do feel like it's a lot of pressure to have a Skype conversation straight off the bat. I feel like if you text each other a little bit, at least you get a bit of a feel for the person before you talk face to face.
Yeah, that's true. But they don't want to give you her number, right? So what can you
do? I don't have... Yeah, anyways, that's a whole other basket case.
Muli, I think also what's interesting is I think you mentioned that this accountant girl, she's 25, right? And it also sounds like mom and dad have been trying to push the age boundary sort of lower and lower over the last little while.
Yeah, that's something they brought up in conversation with me as well. They've been talking, like they've been kind of like complaining to me about how, like I've said that I'd like somebody over 25, and most of the girls on the websites, at least, they like seem to be under 25 or like kind of, I think in, like in India, you finish like university when you're 22. And basically, they're all in the range of like 23, 24. So I think their parents wait like a year or two of them, like finishing university and like working somewhere. And then they're like, all right, chop, chop, time to get married. So it's like, really, really quick. And I feel like 23, 24 is super early to get married. And I guess you guys probably feel the same. But most people who are going into the arranged marriage process seem to think like that's the right age range for a girl. It seems to be a bit broader for men, I think, because like a lot of girls who are 23, etc., apparently expressed the interest in me, but my parents are unable to respond because of my restrictions.
I think part of it is also because Indian parents are more likely, if you're male, to, you know, support you if you want to do a master's or higher studies or whatever after finishing your undergraduate. And also, you know, the expectation is that you should be financially stable, right? Because you're the man you should be providing. So I think, you know, in general, people look for like stability. And it's fine if you're in your late 20s, as long as you've done a master's and you have a good job and things like that. Whereas for women, it's like, oh, you're 23, 24, you've been working for a year. Like, why are you waiting longer? Get married.
What if you're in your late 20s, you're a grad student and you don't have a high paying job? How about that start?
Well... maybe that's the reason you haven't found anyone yet.
Yeah, also, I think when you're a woman, a marriage or a young woman in India, a marriage is kind of a way for you to gain a lot of freedom that you wouldn't get living with your parents and in your parents' home, which is why I think a lot of young Indian women are also a lot more willing to get married at a much younger age than, I guess, men are.
Yeah, I totally agree. And even my mom and dad have said a few times, like, oh... when I was growing up, they were like, oh, I don't understand why you have such a negative view about getting married. And you always say things like, oh, I want to travel first or I want to study. And there's nothing stopping you from doing all of these things while you're married. And if anything, you have like more freedom because why don't you, you know, the two of you can go traveling together or you can do whatever you want. And your husband can support you while you study. So, you know, the problem can have, basically.
Yeah, I mean, even in Singapore, I've heard... people say like, you know, like, oh how is being married like, you know, how are you enjoying married life? And the response has been like, oh, it's been great. Like, I know I could just go out whenever I want, come home whenever I want, no one asking me where I am, who I'm with, this and that. Like, so, I mean, even in Singapore, I think any kind of Asian, if you grow up in any kind of Asian culture for young women, marriage is a route to freedom a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And especially if you're not living with your husband's parents, like if you're just living independently as a couple, right? There's like much fewer restrictions on you than at your parents' house, for sure.
Definitely.
Well, I don't have any restrictions on me, especially since I'm not even living with my parents anymore. So I guess that might be one of the reasons why I've never been that keen to get married, I guess.
No, we're not talking about you though, Muli. I think most men in... sort of from our background are probably in a similar boat one level or
in
another.
In terms of the freedoms that they enjoy, do you mean? Or
yeah, exactly. In terms of the freedoms that they enjoy, because, you know, we've even talked about this. We have cousins who aren't even allowed to go out by themselves, female cousins, who aren't allowed to go out with their friends. Yeah. But there's no such restrictions on our male cousins, right? So I think for a lot of women, it is like, oh, when I get married, I can actually like go out with my friends and do things without having my parents with me all the time.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Do you think you're going to open up those conditions and open it up to girls who are under 25 eventually? Or how steadfast are you about this?
No, the 25 rule I'm pretty steadfast about, especially like considering their description of the average girl who's under 25, which is like she's finished like studying engineering in India and has worked for a couple of years. But like, I don't want to be mean here, but like all of our, that's like all of our cousins, like in India, like they've stayed at, like they've been at home and like gone to college from home, and they've never lived apart from their parents. So like the umbilical cord will be like several thousand kilometers long, like even if they come to Australia, like, so I think it would be a bit hardcore. I think they wouldn't have really like, I don't think they've really lived like kind of like life independently. And I feel like there will be a big adjustment for them to move to Australia and live kind of independently of their parents, like with a relative stranger. So I think definitely would not be happy with anybody under 25. So there's not really any chance of me opening up that condition. Having said that, though, like this girl is exactly 25. So my parents are like really like...
on the nose. Yeah, so
we haven't given this one an actress name. I think we were going to go for Trisha. So Trisha is exactly 25, so she's on the nose. So, but anyways, we'll see how the Skype goes tomorrow. I have my doubts, but anyways.
I'm sure we'll get some interesting conversations following that anyway, whether or not it goes
yeah,
well.
Let's see how it goes. But I don't think, though, that 25 condition is really going anywhere. Like, I don't want to be mean. Like, I'm sure there's, like, lots of lovely girls who've done engineering and, like, whilst living with their parents and, like, enjoyed certain freedoms, but I still feel like they'd probably be a bit too sheltered. And I don't know, that might be a harsh judgment, but I don't know what you guys think.
I don't think it's unfair. I think especially if you were in the same city as them, I think we've talked about this before as well. If you're in the same city as them, it's a bit different because then their parents are close by. They can probably still see them socially. But moving to Australia and like not having any friends, not having like a family support network, for someone who really hasn't experienced that, I think it is difficult. And, you know, Muli, you and I moved to Australia when we were really young, but in saying that, we both also went to university and, you know, we lived on campus. So you kind of have a lot of structures to sort of help you become independent. You know, you meet a lot of friends at university, you have a lot of support, like usually you have a pretty good social life. There's a lot of structure to your life when you're at university. So I think it does help you kind of ease yourself into living independently. Whereas if it's like you've lived at home and you've done university from home, then suddenly to like move country and live with this guy that you don't necessarily have, you haven't necessarily had a long relationship with, I think it is quite challenging.
What do you think, Bobby?
I definitely agree with you guys. It's definitely going to be challenging, but I do think that credit needs to be given that they're willing to try, because that's something that not a lot of people are willing to do. Yeah, it's this that to make that attempt to go out of their comfort zone to do something they're not familiar with, and to move to a whole other country. So I think that's something where they should get a little bit of credit for, that at least they're willing to try. I mean, of course, the danger is that you get someone who's willing to try and then, you know, they make this massive change and they hate it and they're like, no, I want to go back to India. And then you kind of stuck a little bit because you're like, well, my life is not in India. Yeah, it's going to be a massive challenge, but I think if you're going through an arranged marriage, married life in itself is going to be a huge adjustment. So regardless whether she's lived overseas or not, I think just in general, the first stage of married life in an arranged marriage is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Well, it's going to be interesting anyway to see how this conversation with Trisha and her parents go. I'm not sure if her parents are going to be there. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll change your mind about the 25-year-olds in a good way. But anyway, Muli, I hear that there's also something a bit interesting going on with your family that may not be very palatable. How do you say that word? Palatable.
Yes, it's palatable.
Palatable, yeah.
Yeah, so Muli, I also hear that there's something a bit interesting going on with your family that may not be very palatable to the rest of us.
yes Bobby, as I've mentioned on previous podcasts, the state where Star and I are from, Tamil Nadu, is widely renowned for having the most amount of incest, especially intermarriage amongst cousins. And it's very common for people to marry cousins. And so I think whilst my parents were visiting the rest of my relatives, we were talking about the death in the family. I think my grandma suggested my uncle, a couple of people suggested to my mom that since they're looking for somebody, they should consider one of my first cousins as a possible match for me, and asked to look at it. So I think that was the weird news. And I was debating whether to talk about it in the podcast or not, because it's kind of strange enough to be like, I don't know, like sound like we're making it up, but we are making it up. It's legit that my grandma asked whether I wanted to marry my first cousin through my parents to me. And we've had a couple of different cases in our family that I think Star could talk to us about, including something that happened to Star personally.
Yes. Oh, well, before I move on to the other cases, I think it's funny because, Muli, I think you told me that Mum brought it up with you and she said, oh, Muli, you know, if you're interested in any of your cousins,
oh,
you
should my let God.
Us know. I know. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't imagine like how horrible you must have felt. Actually, I can imagine because that happened to me. So in my case, it was even weirder because Muli, at least like you've seen this cousin recently. And I guess she's quite young, right? She's like 22 or 23.
Yep. One of those hordes of under 25s that we're speaking of.
Right. So that already rules her out. But I guess the reason that they brought her up is because they think it's like an acceptable age difference or whatever. We do have instances in our family where our cousins have married their first cousins. So one of our cousins on our dad's side is married to his first cousin. And weirdly, they had a love marriage where like these two cousins met at like family functions and social gatherings or whatever and decided they were going to get married.
That's just like that's just crazier than getting an arranged cousin marriage. That's just insane.
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, even though we didn't grow up in the same city as our cousins, we did visit them every year. And I really think of them as our siblings. And I can't imagine ever being married to one of them. It's just like so... Oh, like it's so repulsive to me.
I had a very close relationship with my cousins growing up and we all used to play together and just like, you know, do lots of stuff together. And basically we grew up together. So if the topic even came up of me marrying my cousin, that would feel to me like marrying my brother. That's just, you know, yeah, no, can't. Even the thought of that is no.
Yeah, we have a very similar relationship with our cousins as well. We didn't see them that often, but when we saw them, we had a mostly, like, especially in our childhood, we played with them and, like, they were our siblings. But there was always a strange undercurrent, though, isn't that right, Star? Because a couple of times, like, one cousin has told another cousin that, oh, like, you shouldn't be too close to, like either, like, Muli or Star because, like... you're like, you could, you know, like you could potentially like be married because like even like that young, like some of our parents had like scoped out as to whether we were matching or not matching and, like based on our astrological signs. And like some cousins were like safe to play with each other like 100% because like they were totally unmatched astrologically. And some other cousins like were like, I don't want them playing together too much because they could potentially be married in the future, which is a weird line to draw. But like something that I feel like we have mentioned this before, like we have talked about it before. Star, what do you think?
Yeah, yeah, I agree. So one of our cousins on our mom's side was engaged to her cousin. So she was promised to him at a very young age and she's not getting married to him anymore. I don't know what exactly went on there, but that's not going ahead. But when we were growing up, she told the cousin that my grandma actually pitched to my brother as a potential bride that she shouldn't touch Muli while they were playing because it was inappropriate. Because basically it's like, I think the weird thing is it's like if you could be married to each other, then you have to treat them like they're basically not your brother, like they're a stranger. So they don't you don't have like a brother-sister relationship anymore. Which I find really bizarre because if anything, if you want them to get married, shouldn't you encourage them to like get closer?
Yeah, so it's kind of hard to explain in a sense. And I guess Star and I weren't really steeped in it. So we're a little bit outside. We were a little bit of like outsiders to it as well because we didn't ever really think about it. And
yeah, and we don't really think about it as like a normal thing, you know. So I think that's a big part of it. So my own story is probably even stranger than your story, Muli, which just goes to show like the lengths our parents will go to somehow make sure that they can arrange your marriage to a suitable person. So here goes nothing. I have a second cousin that I've met like maybe 3 times in my entire life. And I think the last time I met him, I was probably like 8 or 9. And since then, he's moved abroad. I've moved abroad. We haven't seen each other or whatever. We never lived in the same city, right? One time I was home from Australia. I was in my early 20s at this time. And my mum mentioned to me that she had met this cousin and his parents at some family thing and asked me if I remembered him. So, like I said, the last time I've seen him was when I was like 8 or 9, right? And you only remember kind of superficial things from that age. So I said to her, oh yeah, I remember vaguely like meeting him at that age and playing with him. But I remember that all the adults, like all the uncles and aunties, they always thought that like he was a very cute child. But, you know, that's like just such an innocent statement to make, right? Like, you know, when you're 8 and like you're playing with your cousin or whatever and your uncles and aunties are like, oh, you're so cute and like pinching their cheeks or whatever. And, you know, you're just like, you get a sense of like, oh, these uncles and aunties really love this kid or whatever. So that's the angle that I meant it from. So when I said that, my mom kind of smiled, like kind of smiled. And I was, at that time, I didn't think anything of it. And then about a few days later, she brought it up to me and she was like, oh, you know, this guy is doing like so and so. They're going to be looking for someone for him very soon. And what do you think about getting married to him? And I was just like, what the hell? Why would you even like bring this up to me? You know, like how against like cousin marriage weirdness that I am. And my mom said, yeah, but you said that he was really cute. So. And I was like, yeah, as an 8-year-old, not as a bloody 25-year-old. I haven't even seen this guy in like 2 decades. What do you like? And then she kind of dropped it and didn't bring it up again.
I do remember she mentioned it to me briefly as well, that she was like, oh, she mentioned him like to me, like kind of like, and she also gave me that smile. And I was just like, this is going to end badly, but hilariously. So I just kind of like, let it.
So did he end up getting married to another cousin or?
He did get an arranged marriage, if I remember correctly, but not to a cousin.
He got an arranged marriage, but not to a cousin. But it's also funny because I don't know if like subconsciously I internalized all of this like marry your cousin narrative and really wanted to fight against it, because I've really gone to the opposite end of the gene pool to find a husband. So so I think that might have backfired a bit for them. But I think this came up, Muli, recently for you as well, right? Because our dad had some health issues and they were in Chennai at the time for his treatment. And Muli flew back from Australia to see him. And I think you met all these cousins at that time. And I think there was a little bit of like, oh, how did you get on with your cousins kind of line of questioning after that, right?
No, not really. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Maybe I misread that situation.
No, not at all, I think. I mean, we did get along with the cousins. There's been like, there's always been a subtle hint about this specific cousin that they're trying to match me up with. I think mum and our uncle had made some sort of Faustian pact when they were like, when they had their children to be like, I have a boy, you have a girl, let's just work it out in a couple of decades. Sweet, sweet, no worries, like fist bump. Like maybe like when we were both like 5 years, like, and she was just born or something.
So do we even have to ask what you said in response to this?
Yeah, anyway, so I've always said categorically no to my parents. And the funniest thing was that, like, after I said no to them, they told me that they told my uncle that they told him that the horoscope didn't match, which is hilarious because, like, obviously the horoscopes match. They've matched since we were born and then they've known about it. So it's, like, the most, like, the whitest of white lies.
Wait, so was your cousin for this? Was she up for it? Did she know?
Well, I don't know exactly. I'm not sure if she was ever involved.
Okay, so I think even if this cousin was not our cousin, you would categorically say no to her because she fails every other test that you've set for women.
Exactly.
So she's really young. She's extremely sheltered, even for someone who comes from a traditional family. Like, just as an example, she's not allowed to go out socially with her friends.
Wow.
She can only go out socially with her family. Yeah. And she's at university now. Like, maybe she's even finished university.
Right? No, she's been working for like 2 years now. Like,
yeah, so she's not allowed to go out with her friends. Even though she has her own like vehicle and means of transport, she's only allowed to like go to work or go to university and come back. And the weird thing was, I remember, Muli, when you were in Madras for dad's treatment, like all the cousins went out together. And she actually said to Muli, oh, my dad never lets me go out with my friends. And this is like so cool and like so awesome that I can go out with you guys without having like my mom and dad around. The other thing as well is that my uncle has categorically said that he will never allow her to like work in a different city or go overseas to study, or like she's not going to leave his house until she's married and goes to her husband's house.
Yeah.
So she's just like so, so sheltered. So I think my point is that she's so under my uncle's control, who's a really controlling person anyway, and he controls like a lot of aspects of our family. That, you know, and he's like the only brother with like four sisters, so I think he thinks he's like the man of the family, which I find extremely obnoxious. So I think basically if he told her that, hey, you're getting married to Muli, I can't imagine that she would say no or resist very strongly. You know, she may say, oh, like, I don't feel comfortable about it or whatever, but I think they would talk her into
it. That's just so sad.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the whole family collective would be onto it, and like it's a lot of pressure to take. Like, there's only been like one other cousin who's been able to take the extended family pressure to not get married for quite a few years, which is our other female cousin who's older, who's the one after me, I think. She's always been very strong-willed. So I don't think this other cousin really has it in her to put it up against like everybody. The funny thing is, she is actually quite a bit taller than me. So I think she's like solid, like 2 to 3 inches taller than I am. So yeah.
Why are you so short, Muli?
Yeah, I know.
I blame genetics. What can I say?
But imagine how weird that's going to be the next time you see your cousin. I'm like, oh, hey, so you could have been my wife. It's just going to be so.
I guess that's
kind of... We could have been boning like, right now.
Gross. Anyways, I think that's always something that's hung around. So it's not going to be any more awkward than it is. I think the only thing that's awkward is I kind of said no to her, I guess. But I think she's probably going to be happy about that, because I don't think she's ever seen me that way either. So,
well, for all you know, I think she might be like quite relieved that she said no.
I'm sure she is, because like I don't think we've ever had
no chemistry there.
And now she actually gets a say in something, you know.
But I mean, like, she was my cousin, like we've always been sibling-y, and like we were never super close, but like we were always like friendly. And yeah
Muli, but the other thing is as well, if she just goes into like the arranged marriage process, right, then at least she has like some autonomy to say no to people, whereas you, I don't think she has like that much autonomy to say no. So I think this actually like gives her a little bit more freedom in a way.
Yeah, I'm an emancipator, basically.
Yes, you're just a savior.
Yeah, you were doing her a favor. We get it.
Just call me Muli Mandela, guys.
Thanks a lot, brown savior.
Well, glad you dodged a bullet there, Muli, with the cousin situation. I don't know that I would be very comfortable with a cousin wife.
considering you're straight as an arrow, I think you would be pretty uncomfortable with any sort of wife, Bobby, but
that's true. And so next week we're gonna find out how your Skype conversation went. Really looking forward to that. And I'm kind of hoping the parents are going to be there, because I want to see how you test the boundaries there. As always, guys, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear them at arrangedmarriagepodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at @AMMIMpodcast. We'd also like to thank Kevin McLeod for the use of his song Narayana in our theme. Till next week, thanks for listening, and thanks, Star Muli.